It's Bucky and Aaron.
Stadium dog with the stadium mustard.
The ultimate dog for me is just the one with the mustard, the raw onions, and relish on top.
Hey, dragon breath.
Who cares? I'm at the ballpark anyway.
And onions.
Yeah, that's it. Just give me that thing right there. I don't need any chili. You keep your chili and all that other stuff.
I feel like a good chili cheese dog.
I don't like No.
I could get down with that.
Gives me the Rhea. A hot dog with chili gives me Rhea. So I don't really mess with those. That's asking for a problem.
All right, B&E with you on this Wednesday, 20th of March, partly cloudy, 71 today. We've gotten some eyewitness accounts of the basketball game last night, if you were there. Texas winning the NIT first-round game with South Dakota State. But Texas said over 1,500 in the building, which was tickets sold. That says, I was at the game. We rolled six deep next to the South Dakota State bench. Average estimate was somewhere around 1,500. I'd say about 1,350. Already got 10 tickets of an entire row for game two.
Good.
She says, thank God we finally have something akin to the $25 football tickets we used to be able to get for the average Joe fan.
Dude, I remember the $5 average Joe fan from, was it HEB or Randall's? The Randall's $5 ticket when I was here with John Makovic up in the end zone. Used to be a $5 ticket.
Well, I know that because I purchased those tickets when I was
at
St. Edward's. Yes. No, that was the early 90s. We used to... And I people know the story, I think, that Dan Neal played at Texas for you guys. He played on that team, and another buddy of ours from high school, Shane Rink, played on that team. And we wanted to go see them play, see the game, and
be in there.
We'd go over to Randall's and get $5 seats, go sit upstairs.
That's when the band used to come marching in around the track.
That's my first experience at a Texas football game was while I was going to St. Edward's. And by the way, St. Edward's lost last night. The run is done. The run is done for Coach Andre Cook. We're still getting him on the show to talk to him, but they lost to West Texas A&M last night.
All right, I got to say goodbye to my lovely wife.
Round of 16.
My lovely wife, who is heading on her pilgrimage through the South, as a matter of fact. She is on her way driving from here to Louisiana, through Louisiana to Alabama, and I think maybe possibly places in South Carolina on her pilgrimage.
Your wife leaves a lot.
Wonder why. She's married to me.
She doesn't have to live with you.
Yeah, she's going with a friend, and they're going to... They're historians, and they want to go to plantations and things like that.
Well, bachelor time for you.
Yeah.
How's that different?
You want to go
How's
to
that
plantations?
Different when you don't live with her? Like once a week.
Go to plantations, and that's something ironic and really weird about that.
Ironic and weird that your wife who you don't live with wants to take tours of plantations in the South.
Yeah.
I told you, when we were going to the Sugar Bowl this year, we stopped, and my wife and daughter went to the plantation while my son and I watched football. The plantation right there in Baton Rouge.
I myself have never, in my mind, ever thought of, you know, kids, let's go to the old plantation and just go through it and see how it used.
You haven't? You never took your kids?
No. I know that don't mess with history, because history is history. You know, we continue to change history all the time.
Yes.
We just do that because somebody says you have to, it because that's not right. It stands for this or it stands for that.
Well, you learn from that stuff.
But it is history to me.
Wags is in the building now. Hello, Wags.
But some of that bothers me when we change history. But there's never been a time that I thought, you know, I'm thinking about taking my kids down to old Colonel's plantation to give them. It never has rung with me to do that. Now, I've been to plantations, but I've never thought of really – getting to hear people talk about plantations. Maybe I should. But my wife is going to do that, and I think that's kind of cool.
Well, she's an historian.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah, I told you, my wife, they went to the Humus House Plantation and Gardens while we were going to the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, when I went to that
beautiful, they're huge mansions.
Oh, I mean, the beautiful gardens?
Beautiful gardens.
Well,
and...
I would go for there, but I don't want to see where they have my homies up on a rack somewhere and...
I don't think they have that.
I don't want to see anything like that.
Right. Well, and look, it's history.
It's history. I understand.
Those plantations and their wealth and opulence were built on the backs of unpaid labor. There were slaves. And it's a blight
and that was history.
On this country. That is our history.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, when they were going to, I remember when we went to Memphis to the worst bowl trip in America.
Yeah.
When it was time to go to Graceland, the gates of Graceland, and I saw that thing, I'm like,
yo, hey,
hey guys, let's go. Let's go. I guess. I mean, it's It's just certain feelings that you get. It's really weird. And it was the same feeling, E, when that's how history is. When I went to Pearl Harbor with the University of Texas, thank you, University of Texas, for, because I would have never gotten to Hawaii. But the first year when Ricky Williams was there, and we sat on the boat going across the harbor, and we went to the memorial where the oil is still coming up and will be going coming up for the next 100 years, I was so solemn and sad and tear my eye. And the players, like Priest Holmes, like, well, not Priest, but Ricky and Sean Mitchell, why are you so sad about this? I said, you don't know the history of Pearl Harbor, do you? Oh, no, there's a couple ships down here and all that stuff. But I don't know everything about Pearl Harbor, but hearing so much about Pearl Harbor, it made me so sad to be in that spot. So maybe a trip through the old South and seeing a plantation be good for you, I would think.
Go for it.
Because it is history. So is Pearl Harbor.
History. I love history. I really do. And that's, I wouldn't call myself an historian, but mm-hmm. I do enjoy, because it's the roadmap to how we got where we are and should be the roadmap to where we're going or don't want to be again. And
that's true.
And then that's history.
Interesting.
So, yeah. All right. So good luck to your wife.
Yes.
Who you
be safe. Be safe, please.
All right. So, Buck, we've got a lot going on. We've talked Mike Trout. We still have this debate of people that say no human being is worth $430 million to play baseball or play a sport. I'm like, look, come on, man. This is where you're running the
Nobody says that about Sanders campaign or something. Nobody says anything about movie stars.
Or the owner that's paying him.
That guy already has that kind of money.
You know how much money Mike Trout, there are estimates that Mike Trout himself creates $70 million a year annually for the Angels by himself. Just on jersey sales, the ticket deal, the broadcast rights they're able to sell because they have the best player in the game, the tickets they sell based solely on people wanting to come see Mike Trout. That's an estimate, but it's pretty damn close. If he himself creates $70 million a year annually for that franchise, why wouldn't he be worth $36 million? But Mike Trout is underpaid, even by the contract he just signed, because he's been the best player. He's the best player in the history of the game to 26 years old. And that argument is so silly. The owners have enough money to sign these guys. They're making the fortune. You said it about Hollywood actors. No one, if you make a movie and 100 million people show up to see it, I mean, you know, people hear these numbers. The cast of the TV show Friends, the six people that made that show and made it a hit, they're still collecting $20 million a year annually on the syndicated rights of that TV show that they made.
It's been gone forever now, it seems like.
They haven't worked a day in decades to make that show. But the same argument on Mike Trout, you would say, well, the Courtney Cox doesn't deserve her $20 million. Well, of course she does. She created the product.
Right. Well,
people are still paying to see it.
People say the same thing about college coaches. They say that about Nick Saban. I said, Nick Saban is underpaid.
Yeah.
He makes $10 million a year. I'm like, $10 million? You think Nick Saban doesn't bring in... Nick Saban? That's way too much money for a coach to make. $10 million?
You know, what is the billion-dollar industry in our country where it's the billions are made on the non-paid?
Are you saying slave labor here?
I didn't say that. Wasn't me.
Are you saying that, sir? Come on now.
They're educating them.
That's true.
They keep them fed.
Did you say educating them? That's great.
They're educating
them. That is wonderful, sir.
They get to eat.
That's true.
You get training table.
Room and board.
Clothes.
That's absolutely right. Sneakers, the whole works. Yeah, Nick Saban's way underpaid. I always laugh at that.
Shut your mouth about that, how that operates.
That's so funny, man. That's a lot of money, but that guy's going to make a lot of money for the Angels. And will over the next 12 years, the next 3 years.
The Angels are going to cough up $430 million to put Mike Trout over the next dozen years, and they got a bargain.
Now, was Alex Rodriguez worth that to the Rangers?
Well, because Alex Rodriguez got himself to the open market, and the open market decided what he was worth. And
Trout on the open market, that's plus 500, right?
What's that?
Trout on the open market?
Yeah, Trout on the open market with a non-salary cap league, he could have been $500 to $600 million. Easy.
Yeah, he took a pay cut. He wanted to be. This is where he wants to end his career.
And he's still going
to
make $600 million in his baseball career, which people will be aghast that that's possible. But, that's the industry in which he's chosen. And I'll say it again this way. You know, Courtney Cox, she's one of many, many actresses and actors who have made films.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike Trout is the best and most talented person.
At his craft
on the planet. Period. End of story. There's no one on this planet who's better at what they do than he does. in their profession than he is at his. So, yes, he probably should be paid at a high rate.
Just like the people at Facebook or Google, that's what he is.
That's what he is. He's the titan of his industry. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. Yes, and those guys are making money. I mean, Jeff Bezos or
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. But Jeff Bezos, is he worth it? Well, no, he created a product that is
worth
it. Printing money. And that's, you know, that's what he does. And maybe you could get a job at a place that's printing money, Buck, if you go to LinkedIn.
Yeah,
right?
There's
LinkedIn.
No doubt. Great job right there. The right hire is the perfect game plan to set your team up for success. Post your job where smart potential team members go every day to make connections and grow their careers and discover job opportunities. That for sure is LinkedIn. Now, folks, they are unbelievable at LinkedIn right now, and there's a great deal out there for you. But listen, most LinkedIn members aren't checking those job boards regularly, but 9 out of 10 of those folks, they're interested in those new opportunities that you have before them. Posting there is the best way to get the momentum in your favor, getting the job opportunity in front of the more of the right people, of course, and the skills and backgrounds to win. Customers rate LinkedIn jobs number one in delivering quality hires. And right now, your opportunity is there. $50 off of your first post. All you have to do is go to LinkedIn.com/horn. That's LinkedIn.com/horn. Get the $50 off. Terms and conditions do apply.
Terms and conditions always apply.
Yeah, they always do.
But we like that. Hey, so Mike Trout's getting big. Mike, we mentioned earlier, but Bears mentioning here in the 8 o'clock and the 9 o'clock hour, Mike now Trout not the only guy to sign. Alex Bregman. I was down at Astros
nice
spring
deal.
Training last week, and I knew this. You know, was told this was happening. The Astros are trying to get some of their own young stars under contract, and Alex Bregman locks up the largest pre-arbitration deal ever signed, only bested by Mike Trout. when he was in his early 20s, signed a 6-year, $144 million deal with the Angels that preceded the deal he's about to agree to. Alex Bregman, 6 years, $100 million. Astros seeing this, saying, "Look, this." Let's get this guy locked up till he's 30. And I'll say this for Bregman. He's on track to be one of those kind of players, I'm telling you. You come through a team that is that star-laden in Houston, and you're immediately maybe the best player on the team. I mean, you could make a very strong argument that even with Altuve there, who I love, and you know that, and Correa and Springer, and you know, he's the best player on that team. I mean, he is absolutely a star, and they get him locked up. They also got the Their setup man, Ryan Pressly, their strikeout machine.
Important for them, yes.
Well, they got him. He's their middle reliever, their setup guy for their closer, Roberto Osuna. They locked him up to a 2-year contract. So that their bullpen is now locked up, the back end, until 2021. So, you know, Astros are big on controllable contracts and controllable players. And only thing I'd say to the Astros fans that they're keeping an eye, if they can get Gerrit Cole, because I know they're working on this, they're trying to get Gerrit Cole to agree to a deal before, because the Astros, like most teams, don't negotiate contracts once the season starts. So when the season begins, this is why they wanted to get Bregman done. But Gerrit Cole will be a free agent at the end of next season, end of this coming season. So will Justin Verlander. So if you're an Astro fan, could you get Cole locked up here in the next 10 days before the season starts? And then you know you would have your ace pitcher, your best young player in Bregman. Altuve's up under contract. You know, you got your core locked up and your bullpen locked up. We'll see if they can get that. If not, they're going to go through this season, and come next offseason, Verlander and Cole will be on the market, and that could be problematic for a baseball team. Your top two pitchers hitting free agency, they would like to prevent that.
You know, we talked about brand names earlier in the show, and, you know, are you brand loyal, or can you get away with...
We're talking about the Cowboys and how they're shopping in the... You know, we talk about cereals that are brand name versus the off-brand cereals and shampoos, and Cowboys are shopping on the off-brand aisle.
Yeah, it just, you know, someone said today on the Specs text line, said, "Bucky, you can't get Jordans probably anywhere right now for less than $185. And I said, I've never owned a pair of Jordan. I've owned Nikes before, but I've never owned a Jordan brand. And that's on the low end, is $185. And I'm thinking, I just couldn't imagine. I don't care how much money I make. I just couldn't imagine as a kid. Say four kids in the family coming to me and say, "Dad, I need $185. I want these Jordans." I don't know what I would tell my son. And that's, you know, 10 years ago. I know the market has changed. If one of my kids had come to me and it wasn't a prom dress or something like that, if one of my kids had come and said, "Dad, I need $125. I mean, do you have a job? What else do you need to do besides me opening up my wallet?" I mean, kids come to their parents now and ask for, that was That's on the low end, is $185 for a pair of Jordans. I mean, these things that are $300 pair of sneakers.
Well, that doesn't happen at our house. I mean, if you want, we'll put a number on the table, and if you want to make...
put a number. All we have, is that the market plan? Put a number on the table?
Well, we'll spend this much on shoes. And
you're going to pay for this half?
If you want the $200 pair, you earn the rest, and then you'll buy your $200 pair of shoes.
Are they hitting you up every season, too?
Baseball cleats. Don't ever say that word again. No, not really. My kids are pretty good. My kids are not.
That's a luxury. Is a pair of sneakers a luxury?
We'll try to splurge on them when we can. But, I mean, it's just they're – again, that's kind of – her mom's like I am. When you can get something that – again, buy stuff that you're going to use for a long time, buy quality, right? If you're buying new tools or lawn equipment or shoes, I'm big on buying shoes that are going to last a long time. Mm-hmm. You're going to wear them for a long time, especially if you're wearing work boots or something you're going to put a lot of wear and tear on. But most items you can – you don't have to have – the top-end luxury item.
I just call that a luxury item.
Nike Air Jordans are a luxury item. But for a lot of people, that they're willing to pay that. That's great. I mean, just know what you're buying. It's not a valuing asset. Now, actually, if you're a collector and you're buying Nike Jordans, they could be a valuing asset, big picture. But, you know.
You wear them once and just sit them in the closet and look at them?
I bought a pair of Jordans for $85 on sale, and I've used them for about 4 years at the gym, man. They're still in great condition.
Well, you and I are similar.
It's quality.
We're kind of cheapskates. I don't mind thrift shopping. I don't mind bargain shopping. Actually, I prefer it to other things. The sticker shock of clothes and things is just like, what? Really? What? But I will say this, that, you know, again, there are things you will spend money on that you will invest and you know, go a little bit beyond. But you said a prom dress. Is there a bigger inflated item than a wedding dress?
A wedding dress?
A wedding dress.
No, because wedding dresses are forever.
No, they're not. They hang in a closet.
No, they're forever.
One time.
No, they get passed down from generation to generation. Pieces of the wedding dress get passed down. Even when that old piece of crap starts to fall apart in that closet,
right.
Someone will take slithers from that wedding dress.
If you're going to have grandma pass yours down, why wouldn't you just, why are you spending $8,000 on a wedding dress for the wedding you're going to wear once?
My daughter has had my ex-wife's mother's dress as a piece of her wedding dress.
How much were theirs? Because you've had daughters,
yes,
put on wedding dresses.
Very important. That's very important on that day. That the bottom
part
of her
budget.
What, for a wedding dress?
Uh-huh.
No, I never saw that budget. That was on my ex-wife. I don't ask because I would say uh-uh. Just like I would on his shoes. If one of my kids even, you know, this has been a long time. I don't have kids now, and my kids are grown kids. But I can imagine in the day if my son would have said, he would have come to me, or my daughter would have said, Dad, it's going to cost me $110 for a pair of these shoes. It wouldn't even, first of all, they wouldn't come and do that because they know me. Do you know what I'm saying? They already know what the answer
is.
We're
not asking Dad. Well, look, ladies, I mean, that whole industry boggles my mind. You know, what women will spend on a handbag and a purse and shoes.
Oh, a wedding dress. I don't care if you have to spend $10,000 on a wedding dress, that has to be done.
Wedding ring, that diamond will always be valuable.
That wedding dress to a woman and her daughters, and it keeps getting passed down and slithers of that old piece of crap.
Why does the price tag matter? It's the look of it, right?
But when you give that to your daughter, when your wife, not you.
There'll be a budget.
Okay, but when she asks for something that's over the budget for her wedding, you and your wife are going to go, Okay.
My daughter,
you're going to say okay.
Knowing my daughter, she's going to go ahead and, like, she'll buy her own wedding dress.
Does your wife still have parts of her?
Yes. She has the whole thing.
Well, some of that's going to go to your daughter. Part of that, if it doesn't fit her, it's going to go to her.
I know what the budget was for that wedding dress, and it was not expensive at the end of the day.
Well, it's okay. Well, then it's important that part of that wedding dress.
But she loved it. It was a perfect dress for her.
It's going to get passed down.
Why are we talking about wedding dresses? This is unbelievable. This is the worst topic.
Well, you're one of a 17-year-older. Yours is just around the corner.
You've had two get married. We're talking about overpriced things.
Yeah.
Number one overpriced thing for me that I do not like spending a lot of money on are hotel rooms.
I hate that. That's why I stay at the Knights Inn.
Like some people will
gunshot.
I can't even get to the point where I spend $400 to $500 a night on a room. Like,
I won't.
I'm
sleeping in my car
and taking a shower. I'm not leaving.
I'll sleep in my car before I pay $500 a night for a room. I'm not kidding.
I'm with you, but it's done commonly.
Oh, when I was at Boston College, we got a per diem, cash money, homie, straight up cash,
cash only,
and I had to recruit New York City. Do you know how much it costs to stay in New York City? I stayed at a place in Jersey, under the bridge, where you had to push the dresser
and
up against
the
door. Well, I stayed in a place that was like $9, and they paid. It was by the hour. The room was by the hour. And I stayed in there where I pushed the dresser up against the door, and the sheets were moist.
It wasn't even a hotel. It was a motel. Wasn't it?
It was a motel. And the characters, when a guy is behind a glass thing and he slides
hotel?
The thing out. Yeah. So I could keep the money. I used to eat pretzels.
Hourly, so you know what's going on.
Well, yeah, why would a hotel need to be an hourly hotel?
I don't know.
What takes an hour? Take a shower? Why don't you call it a shower?
Once I went in there and pushed the dresser, I never came out.
You're like the movie Big, where he's staying in that hotel, rundown hotel.
Well, and then, of course, I stayed, when I go to Pennsylvania, I would stay at the Knights Inn.
Nice.
How about that? The Knights Inn, $65 a night until the last time. When my mother passed away, I said, I can't do this anymore. When I saw a guy who was still in the stairwell like the first 4 days, every day, with a bag, like that's where he was living, I said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't stay in that place anymore.
Well,
and I told you about the
memories.
Girl who said, where are you going? You going to the store? Remember, that was Christmas Eve. She said, are you going to the store? And this was 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, no, I'm getting something out of my car. I'm like, I don't even know you. Did you want me to take you to the store?
Oh, Lord.
That was it.
Yeah, well,
no more.
All right, so this is going to be a conversation about the Cowboys and their value spending, their thrift spending on free agency. We talked wedding dresses and hotel rooms and hourly
good stuff.
Hotel
Our
rooms
hotel.
With Robert Kraft.
Love
it's Tom Gimbel coming back with our live music update on a Wednesday, the live music capital of the world. Where are the best shows in town? Tom brings it each week. It's coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, it's B&E. Good conversations that Tom Gimbel, who's going to join us here in a moment, missed. We were talking about wedding dresses, and that's because we're a great guys sports radio show. We have to break the big news to Tom. That's with that in mind, let's get to our Wednesday feature. It's the live music update brought to you by Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery.
You are looking live at a sold out Memorial Stadium,
Austin, Texas, baby.
Austin City Limits is about celebrating great music of all genres.
All right, Tom Gimbel is the general manager of the Austin City Limits television show. A great show, an historic show, the longest running show of all time, music television show of all time.
That's right.
Taping currently season 45. And let me mention this to you. Hello, Tom, by the way.
How are you? I'm good.
Should we tell him, Buck? Should we break the news to him?
I want to know.
Break it to him.
Going to break the news so we can find this again. We have been, we got this email this morning. I woke up to it when I got to the office. Because we've been longing for this, Buck. But the Austin Alliance for Women in Media have nominated this show. And he and I as Radio Personalities of the Year.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Their gala.
It's an honor just to be nominated, Buck.
It was a long shot. How the hell did that happen?
You know what else?
Somebody bought off somebody.
How many nominees are in?
Five.
Well, that's good. Five.
Booger, Alex, and Sarah at Mix 94.7 are
Booker. Did you keep calling that dude Booger?
I can't see it. It's a very small print.
You're going up against
Dudley
someone
and
named Booker.
And with Matt, and I know you and Matt are very good friends.
We are good friends. That's a tough competition.
That's a tough one. Dudley and Bob institutions. Booker.
And they're so sensitive.
They are so sensitive to women.
One of them is the girl. Somebody's got to be the girl in that deal.
Well, you don't have to be a girl to be up for radio. By this is a group of women who like to talk about all kinds of media.
But it sounds like each one of them have a female. So Dudley and Bob, who's the girl there?
Well, Matt. What's Matt's last name? We went to the same
Bearden.
High school.
Matt Bearden.
Yeah, we went to the same high school.
There's no girl there.
Matt's a good dude.
Okay.
Really good. So is Dudley. So is Bob. Jason and Deb over at 101X.
There you go. You
love
got
Jason
Deb.
And Deb. Right.
They're good.
Ann Hudson, our friend Ann Hudson over at 96.7.
Is that Kiss,
or
right? She's not a Case anymore. She's
Ann's
a Kiss.
Awesome.
Yes.
We've known Ann forever. Used to work with us. So, yeah, we're up with them. Those are the nominees.
Guess what? There's no Bobby Bones in here this year.
Look at that.
How about that?
Got a chance.
Saying
there's a chance.
So you're saying we got a chance.
So yeah. We thank them for the nomination, whatever we did.
It is an honor.
It is an honor.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, between now and then, hopefully we don't ruin it. But we'll see. Well, it'll be fun. But we're excited.
And we're going to pay off people if we have to in order to win this thing.
Now the politicking starts.
Yeah, it does.
How does that work in the Grammys? I mean, there's politicking going on in the Grammys.
Oh, sure there is.
Payola, the plugola.
You know, both the Academy Awards and the Grammys, it's a membership base. And you start getting emails and packages in the mail where they want you to watch their movie or listen to their record and consider it for voting, because you're being voted on by your peers. But within those industries, there's certainly a lot of politicking that goes on.
I don't think we want to put out a bunch of our shows.
I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, probably not.
Create like a nice multimedia piece that you send out to everybody. And
I think that's a good job there, Tom. We're trying to win this thing. We're in it to win it.
Let's win it.
Yeah.
Like a Bucky Godbolt calendar.
We appreciate them for even the nomination.
That's great.
Because I think last year we complained, why can't we ever get nominated for that dang thing? Which, you know, we
probably some of the things I say.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
Nope.
Doesn't help the cause.
Nope.
Just going to say. But Tom is here. We've got the live music picks for the week, and with a lot going on. I was looking at the list. There's some pretty good stuff this week, Tom. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery brings you Tom and brings you the picks, because Iron Wolf Ranch is right there in Spicewood, Texas. You're talking about bold spirits, Texas attitude. They've got all the brands. It is tremendous. The whiskeys, the vodkas, the bourbons, the gins, the rums. The blended tequilas have come online here in 2019, and those are really good. So go check that. Plus, you can hang out at the ranch. And
yeah, the weather's about to get so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Head on out there.
Yeah, now's about to be the perfect time for the Iron Wolf Ranch.
For sure.
Hang out there and do some tastings and enjoy that in the Texas Hill country.
Although I may need to – I've got the bourbon at home. It is fantastic, but I may need to take a break. Because it's coming off of South by Southwest.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how was your South by
which
experience?
Which is 10 days of nonstop. It was really good. Did you get out and see any music?
I did. When we got back from Florida, I went Saturday. Went down Saturday for a few hours. It's a busy stretch there because our kids weren't off spring break. So we still had things going on and people were working. So it wasn't as easy. But I did hear from people who attended the Bloody Mary morning event at GSD&M that you put on every year last Thursday. That was just
how was it? Fantastic
tremendous,
again?
Tremendous.
Could
event.
Not have gone better. I think this was our best one.
Weather was perfect.
Weather was perfect. We moved to a bigger stage because each year, as you know, the crowds have been getting bigger.
I did see that stage. That was a huge stage.
Fantastic. And the bands were just tremendous. We opened with this band called John the Martyr, this horn, you know, funk group out of New York and New Orleans. Priscilla Renee, an amazing singer-songwriter. We had Erica Wennerstrom there from the Heartless Bastards. The band that kind of stole the show was this band out of Canada called Rainwolf.
Ooh.
That sounds a lot like the Black Keys. The lead singer particularly sounds a lot like Dan Auerbach, but they've kind of got that bluesy rock. Man, they just tore it down. And then Patty Griffin closed. The Strumbellas were there, which were great. You know, we had the Tito's going in the Taco Deli, so, you know, some free food
like
and booze.
The legendary Patty Griffin?
The legendary Patty Griffin.
How great. Did you
She
talk
was
to her?
Wonderful.
She was the one at one point... Buck dating Led Zeppelin.
Not all of them.
Robert Plant.
Okay.
That would be quite a feat. But and
sure,
it probably has been done
yes.
back
sure
in the 70s.
There's a female somewhere that
yes.
dated all of Led Zeppelin.
No doubt. But not Miss Patty Griffin.
When Robert Plant was living here, and I was always gush about, man, I just want to see Robert Plant like at Home Depot or something and say, what up?
People would tell stories, they said.
I know. People would text us and call us and say, yeah, I saw Robert Plant over here. He's buying a pair of boots. Or
kids were going trick-or-treating, and they knock on the door. It's like,
hey, Robert.
Wow.
Hey, it's
man.
Bob Plant.
Good Led Zeppelin costume.
Yeah, it's Bob Plant down the street. How
Bob
are you?
Plant.
What's going on? But yeah, so Patty Griffin, that is an awesome, awesome lineup. All right, Tom, let's get to some picks. Tom brings, we post all of Tom's selections for the best music for the upcoming week. All of them at our website at hornfm.com, but then he picks his favorite 10 shows of the week because there are too many to name them all over the course of this couple segments. But what are your favorite shows coming up this week, Tom?
So Rodeo Austin comes to town, and Thursday night they kick off with not some country, but some rock and roll with the Struts. A good band.
So just an emerging group, the Struts, or they've been around a while?
Yeah, kind of an up-and-coming buzzy rock band. But, you know, it's kind of got like an Aerosmith look to them.
Nice. Yeah, the rodeo.
A little more pop than Aerosmith.
Yeah, the Austin Rodeo. They've got the Struts tomorrow night. Chris Jansen tonight. Randy Rogers Band. That'll be a huge show Friday night. Rolling into the weekend with Josh Turner. How about this one, Buck? Sunday night with the Austin Rodeo, Ronnie Millsap.
There's an old dude.
There's an old dude. Walker Hayes, Martina McBride, all coming. And then next Wednesday, Bucky's favorite, the Jacksons. The Jacksons will be there at the rodeo.
Only if Jermaine shows up.
And Tito, of course. All right. So
and
that's
all their sparkles.
So Rodeo Austin
and all
the
their kids by now.
Tomorrow night is a Tom Gimbel pick. What about also another show on Thursday?
One more at the Paramount Theater. I'm a big David Bowie fan, and this is called a Bowie Celebration. The David Bowie Alumni Tour. So I'm assuming this features some folks who have played with Bowie and obviously going to be playing all Bowie music. So anytime you have a night of Bowie music, it's worth seeing. But the Paramount Theater, great place to see a show. And so that is the David Bowie Alumni Tour at the Paramount Theater on Thursday. Friday, couple good shows in town. Amos Lee is actually going to be holding it down for two nights.
Here, listen to this. You guys will like this. Love this guy. But you didn't want to be here anyway.
So hang on, hang on.
Oh, man.
It's Tubby,
man.
Tubby Time music.
That is Tubby Time
Amos
music.
Amos Lee right out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
That guy's got a smooth voice, brother.
You know, if you like Amos Lee... And speaking of South by Southwest, one of the artists who was really buzzing around town, he played 13 times. His name is Cautious Clay.
What a name.
Kind of a play on Muhammad Ali.
Clay, yeah.
Cautious Clay. Multi-instrumentalist. He plays the saxophone, the flute, the guitar, but he's got this type of Amos Lee soulful sound and soulful voice. If you like Amos Lee, Ben Harper... Well, Cautious Clay, really good.
Well, if you see Amos Lee, he'll play songs that you go, I didn't know he sang that song, because they've been on commercials and things. He's done a lot of that. But you know what? Amos has kind of gotten involved with the folk music. Like, mm-hmm. He's worked a lot of the Austin and Texas and Southern folk musicians and put out some folk albums. So he's got that gravelly Philadelphia thing going with the sultry stuff. It also does some folk. So Amos Lee, that's a great show at the Moody Theater on Friday night.
You know, and the fact that he's playing two nights at ACL Live, that's a big room. It really shows how loved and popular Amos Lee is in this town. So check that out either Friday or Saturday night. Speaking of beloved in this town and a great voice, Tamika Jones is going to be at Antone's on Friday.
Tamika.
She played our Hi, How Are You Day celebration.
I saw her there.
And just tore it up. She's one that's on the verge here in town. She really should be breaking through on a national level because she's so talented. But you get a chance, before she blows up, to see her at Antone's on Friday night.
One more for Friday, then we'll take a time out and come back for the rest of the live.
The very unique, very odd, I think he got his start on America's Got Talent. It's Puddle's Pity Party.
No, I don't know what this is.
It you'll have to look it up during the break and just see him to experience it. But the guy can really sing, but he dresses like a clown and does these odd covers. And he's kind of become enough of a sensation that he is going to be playing the Paramount Theater. But there is...
Sounds like Tom Jones.
There is a talent. There's a vocal talent behind this kind of odd madness in his presentation. But
I hear Tom
Jones
singing.
No, the guy can sing.
But he kind of cheeses it up and hams it up kind of deal?
Oh, I mean, and then some.
You
got to check him out. We'll check him out during the break.
I'll look him on during the break.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Puddle's Pity Party, Friday night. So a good start to our weekend, and then some great stuff coming to town. Saturday, Sunday, Monday next week.
Well, let's get a quick timeout. We'll get those. We'll also talk more with Tom about his week at South by Southwest. And this says, hey, yeah, perfect South by, except for the shootings. Yeah, well, we weren't.
That's kind of scary.
That was kind of a mess this weekend. But absolutely. Everybody hopefully enjoyed their South by. It's now in the rearview mirror. We'll come right back. Tom will have these final five picks for the upcoming week. Also, get you teed up for Trey and BK through your midday. It's B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
Hey, Trey and BK coming up in the midday. Remember, I'm going to retweet this right now for folks if you haven't seen it. But go to Brad Kellner, at Brad Kellner on Twitter. He's got he and Kevin Dunn have put together a kind of fun mind game for you Texas basketball fans. You don't have to think about the NIT. Build your all-time Texas basketball starting five using $20, and they place values on each of the players, like T.J. Ford or Kevin Durant, cost you $8, and it goes all the way down to a dollar players. It's kind of a fun thing. You can create your starting five, and they'll be talking about that today on the show, I'm sure.
Love it.
I'd have to have Kevin Durant on my team for $8.
Well, you got to have him. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got to be a part of it.
He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, so yeah, he would be on your all-time 35 regardless. But it takes up $8 of your $20, and then you play it down for them. Kind of fun.
You go situational there, and you get James Thomas at value just to go scoop up all the boards. Kevin Durant's going to score all the points. T.J. Ford handle the rock, and you get defense.
Look, if you go T.J. Ford, Kevin Durant, and then pick any of the other three that you can afford, you're going to
have two guards.
Mo Bamba, James Thomas, and Daniel Gibson.
Boobie Gibson? Is that Boobie? That was Boobie, right?
Yeah.
$20.
Yeah, I'm in.
They make more than 20 now.
How about Jim Kravitz?
Yeah. Look at you, Wags. Come on. I was mad that BK didn't put Gabe Maneki on his thing. I needed some Gabe Maneki love up in there.
Or somebody had to get punched in the nuts.
Some Hank Dudek.
All right, so we'll have
Brandy Perryman.
They'll be having fun with that today. Where's Reggie Freeman when you need him? Was he on that list? I loved Reggie back in the day with that guy.
Mr. Clack had to be there somewhere, right?
Chris Clack for a dollar.
Okay.
All right, so have fun with that. And then remember, go see Rod Babers today. Rod's going to be out at 7-Eleven in La Fonterra, right there by right there in Round Rock, right under the tollway and the 35, right by Dell Campus. La Fonterra, 7-Eleven. He'll be out there 1 to 3. Go meet Rod. Have some fun with that today. And we're going to be back out that area tomorrow with our Play Hooky, our hooky headquarters for March Madness at the Twin Peaks location right there near Dell. I-35 and the tollway. That's where we'll be from 10 o'clock tomorrow live all the way to 7 o'clock watching basketball. It's one of the great days of the sports calendar. How is your bracket coming, Mr. Gimble?
I've got a couple.
Got a couple?
You're talking.
You're looking. You're sitting across from the doctor of bracketology right there.
Thank you very much.
Do you know where I think there's value?
Where?
I like Villanova's bracket. I think Villanova at 6.
Doctors, not so fast, my friend.
Say goodbye to Villanova, round one, St. Mary's.
You think so?
Yeah, that's the one that's going to hurt you if you got them going too far. Don't be a Philly homer now.
I think that they're value at 6. I think they have a good run.
All right. Well, that's why it's fun, because everybody will do their bracket. You can do yours at our website at hornfm.com. Of course, $500 to the winner. 500 cold hard ones.
Winner. Tom Cash. We're messing around with Cash now. We're not playing around with.
That's thanks to Chris Waters.
I want to get in on that.
Great Cash, homie. Hornfm.com. Get the Tom Gimble team together and we'll have some fun with that and all the rest of March and into April. All right. We also have fun with Tom every Wednesday at the back end of the 9 o'clock hour. He makes our live music picks in the live music capital of the world. Before the break, he talked about the Rodeo Austin shows with the Struts tomorrow night. There's a David Bowie celebration on Thursday night. Amos Lee, Tamika Jones, and Puddles Piddle Pity Party at Paramount on Friday. Say that five times
fast. Exactly.
But how about into Saturday? Legend in town.
Saturday is just off the chain.
Some legends in town.
So many good shows. So Bob Weir and Wolf Brothers.
He started the music wrong.
He went with Jerry Jeff.
Turn that back up, Wags.
We'll go Jerry Jeff.
Go with that one.
Absolutely.
Start it over.
The great Jerry Jeff Walker, Mr. Bojangles himself, is going to be at the Paramount Theater on Saturday night. Paramount has a good week of music.
Yeah, they do.
But yes, you got Jerry Jeff in town. And then if you are a deadhead, and I do recommend the Grateful Dead documentary.
In your long and winding road.
My crazy Pennsylvania friends listen to the Dead. I was not. I mean, I could sit back when they were like Token, being the Tokens that they were at that time.
Trucking.
They could do that, but I wasn't. I didn't follow them. I didn't go all over to watch the Dead, even on the East Coast when they were around. No.
Well, I mean, a lot of people did, and it was a really unique phenomenon in American music. The Grateful Dead, the Deadheads, and the whole subculture that grew out of it and has launched bands like Fish and String Cheese Incident and so many others. But Bob Weir and Wolf Brothers are going to be at Bass Concert Hall. Bob Weir was at ACL Live last year. I went to that show, and I would highly recommend getting out to Bass Concert Hall if you're a fan at all of The Grateful Dead, Bob Weir, are just good folk and bluegrass music. Really, really talented band that he has with him. Very entertaining show. And then we're all over the map. We've got Seattle grunge pioneers Mudhoney. Before there was Pearl Jam, before there was Nirvana.
Yeah, they were kind of the first one.
They were really one of the first ones. Green River and Mudhoney were the bands that kind of got it started. And they are going to be at Antone's, and that's going to be a cool show. And then the big one, you know, festival headlining, Muse, is going to be out at the Austin 360 Amphitheater, headlining their, I guess it's the IndyCars that are going to be out there this weekend.
Yeah. IndyCar racing, and we've been giving away four packs all week. We'll have another two sets of four packs tomorrow on the show.
But yeah, this is the big one of the week. Muse is in town at Austin 360 Amphitheater.
Muse in for everybody, but that's one of the biggest stadium touring bands in the world.
Sure.
They are huge. Globally huge.
Globally huge. They're kind of like one of those superhero movies. They do a pretty good in the United States, but on a global basis, they're massive.
In Europe, they're absolutely massive, and they know how to put on a heck of a show. I mean, you don't get to be a band that plays and fills stadiums without knowing how to do it, and these guys can
all
really,
over the world.
Really bring it.
Unbelievable.
I agree with you. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but you know, they're right there with the U2s and the Coldplays for knowing just how to do those big stadium anthem kind of rocking moments. So that'll be fun if you're a fan of Muse. And then I'll wrap up with number 10 for the week, just because they're so bizarre. But a band called Lords of Acid is going to be at Come and Take It Live. These guys have been on the EDM scene and kind of the shock rock scene, even precursors of Marilyn Manson and things like that. So good job, Wags, in finding anything that's suitable by Lords of Acid to play on the airwaves, because these guys have been known to have some pretty shocking lyrics. But if you're fans of this kind of stuff, come and take it live on Sunday. And that wraps up your music week. Buddy Guy is coming to town next week and some others. So we'll have a good Wednesday to preview when we're back.
All right, Tom. Tom Gimbel, General Manager, Austin City Limits Television Show. His visit's brought to you by Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery. And we'll leave with Amos Lee, who we mentioned earlier. He'll be at ACL Live, the Moody Theater, for two shows, Friday and Saturday. Hey, Buck, thanks a lot. Great show today.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Wednesday. And you said goodbye to your wife, who's on her way to the South.
The South.
Wags, thank you. Thanks to BK. Thanks to everybody today. Always remember, every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Amos Lee playing two shows. He'll wrap up our live music update. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Morning comes, you won't be here, Lord.